Exurga Deus dissipentur inimici eius, et fugi ancio dedunt eum a faci eius. Let God arise and let his enemies be scattered, and let all those who hate him flee from before his face. Quick programming note. On January 25th, I'll be going into surgery, so I'll probably be offline for a couple of days. The surgery is to actually fix the neck injury that I sustained when I was in Colorado Springs on vacation at the end of October. So prayers would be appreciated. And after the surgery, like, I'll be back as soon as I can because it's not terribly difficult to talk. However, there is a non-zero chance that my voice could be affected by the surgery. So we'll find out. If it's to be, it's to be. I mean, you know, if I can't really talk, then I can't really talk. I mean, you know, it is what it is. But prayers would be appreciated for that. And I'll be out of the loop for a couple of days. I'll still be tracking the news. And when I am back online, I'll probably have a bunch to say. This is Caleb the Mechanic with Radio Free Catholic. Let's get started with a prayer. In nomine Patris et Filii et Spiritus Sancti. Amen. Sancta Michael Arcangelo, defende nos in proelio. Contra nequitiam et insidias diaboli est oppressidium. Impera te lideus supplices et precamur, tui che princeps militae calestis, satanam aliosque spiritus malignosque ad perditionem animarum, pervegantur in mundo divina virtute in infernum detrude. Amen. Cor Jesu sacratissimum miserere nobis, mater dolorosa, ora pro nobis, speculum justitiae, ora pro nobis. Beatus Carolus et Domo Austriae, ora pro nobis. Domine ostende facem tuum et salvi erimus. Ave Maria Purissima, Immaculata Conceptio est. In nomine Patris et Filii et Spiritus Sancti. Amen. All right. So, as an aside, I do want to apologize for the delay in this broadcast. In all honesty, I didn't really know what I was going to talk about because the news, you know, getting repetitive. And when you do broad coverage, what ends up happening is around the world, very little new actually manifests itself. But after some sleep and some careful deliberation and some recent revelations, hat tip to Glenn Beck over at Blaze TV, for all of his slightly busted theology and therefore his slightly busted worldview, the fact remains is that he's actually got a good investigative branch, and it's nice to be able to pick up a few small details that gave me a clue on well, this episode in particular. For confirmation of the information that I'm going to put out, I would actually recommend that you go to, and this obviously isn't sponsored. I don't have a big enough podcast to be sponsored by anybody. But Glenn has put out a new book, and you can find it at glennsnewbook.com, and it's on the Great Reset. And the book actually talks about what I'm about to talk about today. So, if now, from what I understand, the book is about 300 pages, and there's at least 30 pages of footnotes so that you can actually go through and look up and confirm. And I would highly recommend that you do. It's one of my favorite things about when he puts out books like that is that he always carries the sources so that you can confirm them yourself. Unfortunately, the book I'm going to cite, I don't think is still in circulation. And it is actually a dystopian steampunk novel called The Wrath of Fate. And it's written by Robert Brown, who is the lead singer of Abney Park, a steampunk band that I got dialed into back in right around 2007, 2008. Now, obviously, everybody who's been following the podcast knows I love aviation, and one of my favorite themes has to be airships. Even though they're wildly impractical, the idea that you could have a ship of the air, an aircraft that you could actually just straight live on, is really, really awesome. I'm a huge fan of that concept. It's one of the reasons why I have an affinity for a lot of the Star Wars movies, or generally any like Firefly or any show where it's a crew on a ship that travels around and gets in adventures. For the most part, you know, like I can run the full gamut. Actually, I'm a fan of Star Wars. I'm a fan of Firefly. I'm a fan of the airship pirate concept. And the reason why I'm citing this book is because the theme, one of the things that they're trying to do in The Great Reset, is actually a cheap knockoff version of this very idea proposed as a story, as a dystopian steampunk post-apocalyptic novel. And I say it's a knockoff because I don't think they've ever read it. But the concept that they're trying to push is a restoration of nature. And in so doing, what they want to do is they want the forces of the Great Reset. They want to consolidate humanity into high-density cities so that the rest of the world could be largely depopulated. And one of the ways that they want to achieve this is obviously by reducing the number, the total population, which is why the vaccines, the whole COVID narrative has presented it, like we all immediately recognized it as a danger, was because we know that it's to cull the population, to shrink it down to a manageable level, and then to cordon off all of that population into pods, into large cities, into large high-density cities, so that the rest of the world can be left, quote-unquote, to Mother Nature. Now, they pointed this out as being one of the themes, and it is in the Biden administration. It's part of their agenda, 30 and 30. You can actually find out about it on whitehouse.gov. But the concept of the book is that the world gets taken over. Let me back up. The concept of the book is that this band, Abney Park, manages to stumble across a time travel device that is linked, that is tied in to a ship that was built into an airship in the 1800s. And on this ship, they decide to meddle with the timeline. And so they go back and they get rid of Hitler. They go back and they do all of these things to remove the influence of despots around the world. And after having done this, a couple of years going back and forth through time, removing all of the despots, all of the tyrants, all of the Mao Zedongs and the Adolf Hitlers, all of the truly horrifying people in history, they come back to what is the present to find out that the whole world has been taken over by the Emperor Victor. Hence the Neo-Victorian era. And who Victor was a college kid who became an environmentalist. And this environmentalist managed to go and collect up all of this backing from around the world and establishes a sort of new environmentalist sort of empire, where the idea is the preservation of the world, the earth, the Mother Nature, the restoration. And so when they return back to what should be, you know, roughly the early 21st century, they find the technology has taken a weird turn, that humanity largely is cordoned off in these cities, and there are huge swaths of the earth that are completely given over to a sort of deformed version of Mother Nature, because in the course of this whole deal, there's some genetic engineering, and they managed to create new chimeric species, including a restoration of supposedly, like saber-toothed cats and et cetera. Okay. Now this is the background of the story. And then they realize that they actually have to go get this guy and topple him. Now, I don't know if you'll get a chance to find the book, and I really do hope that you get an opportunity to find the book, because the thing that I'm actually most, that I find most endearing about the book is that it starts with a young ideal, like a young man who is an idealist, who believes, hey, we can do all of these things to help humanity. And then ends up creating the most tyrannical empire that is entirely around the world ever on the face of the earth. Humanity's population is decimated. Traveling through the wilderness, there are these small bands of people in caravans who are basically just fighting for survival. And it's a very steampunk take on sort of a Mad Max reality. A post-apocalyptic Mad Max reality. But having read this book almost a decade ago now, and there were two books. I forgot what the name of the other book was. But the first book was The Wrath of Fate. And it's a good book. It's a fun book. It's not, I think probably my other favorite part about it is not particularly... Like occasionally they dive into themes of religion and they get very, not this book, but other books. Occasionally when you get into these books, they dive into themes of religion and they concoct some weird blasphemy that you look and you're like, oh, as a Catholic, you go, oh, come on. This book doesn't actually bother with any of that. And that's part of what makes it entertaining. These people, tragically, these people of the Great Reset have tragically decided that that's what they want to do. There are various administrations around the world tied to the World Economic Forum who basically want to cordon off humanity into cities of high density so that the rest of the world can be left to Mother Nature. And it's kind of funny because we're living in a world that kind of has a pretty good mix. You have the Great Reset people, and then you have people who are like Elon Musk, who are trying to stretch us out across the galaxy. You have the Catholic Church, which has surrendered itself up to the devil. And I mean the church hierarchy. I'm not, you know, the human element, all the high level mucky mucks in the Catholic Church. We're not talking about trads. We're not even talking about the average Catholic. The average Catholic has no idea what's going on. Trads are rightly resisting it. But when you get up to like the bishops and all that, so when you get up to the bishops, a lot of them have no idea what's going on. Although some of them are waking up, and Anthony Stein just actually posted a video of Cardinal Burke. He recently did a video with Archbishop, talking about Archbishop Vigano and Bishop Athanasius Schneider, the auxiliary bishop from where? From Kazakhstan. I love it. I love how the whole thing's tied together. It is a gorgeous, wonderful tapestry. It's a marvel to watch. It's one of the reasons why I do the podcast, just in case you guys miss some of the poetry of what's going on. But I've said a lot that these people have taken, you know, sci-fi dystopian movies and novels, and they've sort of created their own knockoff version of them. I've cited Demolition Man. I've cited V for Vendetta. Now I'm citing an obscure book that I know almost nobody's probably read. But these people are predictable. It's silly, actually. But more than that, the Great Reset's probably the biggest Ponzi scheme ever. And that's really the thing that everybody needs to take into account, is this is a Ponzi scheme. Joe Biden doesn't care about Joe the Plumber or Joe Sixpack. Barack Obama doesn't care about the Antifa rioter. John Kerry doesn't actually care about climate change. And the same can be said of Klaus Schwab and Boris Johnson and Emmanuel Macron and all of these people who are following the Pied Pipers of social revolution. And I think it's kind of cute because one of the things that Glenn Beck mentioned, and again, like I said, hat tip, is that what they're doing is actually creating a scenario for a global socialist revolution. Because who's absent from the Build Back Better talk? Think about it. We talk about all of the things that Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez mentions. She's not on board with the World Economic Forum. She's not part of that club. Bernie Sanders, he's not part of that club either. The World Economic Forum is basically just a group of people who honestly think they can control the world. And it does include very powerful organizations, but they're stupid. Everything that guides them can either be found right next to their front pocket in their pants or their back pocket in their pants. It's either their wallets or their crotch. And it shows. It's wildly entertaining. It's stupid, actually. They don't realize what they're headed towards. But here's the hope. As much of a pain in the tuchus as it would be to live in a sci-fi dystopia, a post-apocalyptic, steampunk sort of Victorian, Mother Nature ruled, etc., like craziness, if they do actually achieve all of their goals, it means nothing to a Catholic. If they manage to successfully depopulate most of the world, the Catholics that are left, it means nothing. It means nothing if we're traveling in caravans across hostile nature overflown. I don't want to get the contexts mixed up. But it makes no difference if it's a Catholic Bedouin tribe or traditional Catholics concentrated in a city. If you hold close to the cross of Christ, salvation comes to both. Damnation comes to those who are in power. That's always going to be true. These people could succeed in every despotic plan that they have. And salvation comes to those who wait on the Lord. And damnation for those who don't. So it doesn't matter if we're the most prosperous planet ever. I mean, let's be real. The likelihood is we are actually the only truly populated planet. I'm not saying that is an absolute, but it's likely. It doesn't matter if we're globally prosperous and we're, the Gene Roddenberry Star Trek Federation at its height across the galaxy. And it doesn't matter if we're post-apocalyptic Mad Max. Salvation comes to those who wait on the Lord, and damnation to those who don't. That will always be true. Always. Those who live out their Christian faith will still be able to do so, even under heavy persecution, whether we're in a post-apocalyptic Mad Max world or Star Trek. Those who live out the Christian faith will still be able to obtain all of the graces of God, whether we're suffering under the Galactic Empire or liberated in the New Republic. This is why Satan's plans always fail. Because as long as we stay close to Christ, it doesn't matter what our circumstances are. It doesn't matter that these feckless, crotch-driven people with spaghetti spines, it doesn't matter if they're running the whole world. The promise is the same. Yes, things are coming close to sucking for everybody. It's coming close to being horrifying and evil. In fact, in many cases, it's already horrifying and evil. You're not going to tell me that the people in Austria are not suffering greatly under these new mandates. You're not going to tell me that the people in Lithuania aren't suffering greatly under these mandates. You're not going to tell me that people in New York aren't suffering greatly in the face of all of their mandates. But even in New York City, if there be any Catholics, those Catholics who are holding true to the faith of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are reaping the salvation that Christ has promised. And the same is true in Austria, and the same is true in Lithuania, as it is true in Montana or Texas or Nevada. It's what's true in Buenos Aires is true in Rome. What's true in Mozambique is true in Nagasaki. Those who are holding to the Catholic faith, regardless of the circumstances, regardless of whether prosperous or starving, whether they're enslaved in the slave trading town of Tripoli in Libya. Thank you, Hillary Clinton, for bringing that back, by the way. You daft git. Whether they're in the slave markets of Tripoli or in St. Mary's, Kansas, Catholics are still receiving the same salvation. Those who hold to Christ are still receiving the graces God is giving. It is the ultimate message of humility and meekness to understand that it doesn't matter what your physical circumstances are, what your circumstances are in the temporal world, you follow Christ and you'll be saved. It's that simple. So whether you're in Toronto or Paris or Moscow or Hong Kong, or Auckland, hold fast to the Catholic faith and you'll be saved. It's about the eternal salvation. It's about suffering the things that you're supposed to suffer. Patience and longanimity. No matter the circumstance. Because I'll tell you right now that everybody who has material wealth, everybody who is doing very well, everybody who has an exponentially larger amount of largesse at their disposal than you, if they have not the faith, they're going to suffer greatly for it. And if you are one of those people who has a mid six digit, low seven digit salary, who's making oodles and oodles of money, if you're holding true to the Catholic faith, you're going to be fine. And if you're not, whether the likes of Church Malevolent can manage to expose your corruption or not, you're going to be damned. And you're going to be equally damned if you're not holding the Catholic faith and you're homeless. As if you were holding, my syntax just got all twisted, and I can tell that I probably need another nap. If you're not holding the Catholic faith, whether you're Bill Gates or some homeless dude on the street starving to death, the reward's the same. If you are, whether you're a homeless beggar or Elon Musk, I'm not saying Elon Musk is holding the faith, but trying to put that in perspective as to the quantity of largesse that you've got at your disposal. If you are holding the Catholic faith, then whether you're poor or ridiculously rich, salvation's yours. And that's the point. Our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ made salvation available to all men, in all circumstances, in all states and status of life. All have salvation available to them if they just follow Him. So if America goes on another 200 years, or they crash in a year, we have the same salvation available to us. If we end up like Venezuela, or we somehow reach even newer heights of greatness, we have the same salvation available to us. That's the whole point of the gospel. He came for us all. And we just have to choose. And those who choose him, whether king or slave, they face the same salvation. And all who reject him, whether slave or emperor, face the same damnation. That's the point. These people are going to destroy the world. Who cares? Seriously, who cares? What matters is whether or not we follow God. What matters is whether or not we follow the promptings of the Holy Spirit. What matters is whether or not we understand, we take in and understand the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. What matters is whether or not we, whether king or slave, king or homeless dude, hide ourselves under the protective mantle of our Blessed Mother. Tuck ourselves away into the wound of Christ's sacred heart. That's what matters. And all of the machinations, be it of Hillary Clinton or Klaus Schwab or Bill Gates or Jeff Bezos or Joe Biden or Nancy Pelosi or Emmanuel Macron or Vladimir Putin or Xi Jinping, all of their machinations are doomed to failure, because if they have not Christ, they have nothing. It's not about them. It's not about the Great Reset. It's about you. Will you follow our Lord? Will you teach your children to follow our Lord? The choice is yours. It's not theirs. This is Caleb the Mechanic with Radio Free Catholic. May God bless you and the Virgin protect you. In nomine Patris et Filii et Spiritus Sancti.